Well, I would say that David did a marvelous job really reminding us what we've been touching. And now would be a very good time to just have everybody come up and share what they feel. But I do have a burden. As been considering these things, one of the things that struck me very much is that what David touched on, the last days and the different times or the difficult times. We're in a time that is, well, in my lifetime, there's never been anything like it. And I've been here longer than most of you. So, we're facing situations that we haven't seen. We don't understand how this kind of living is invading our space. You know, we have our ideas about what's right and what's wrong, and we're really burdened about this situation. But actually, that burden becomes a real trap. We need to put aside our reaction to this present evil age. We're not here to improve the age. We're not here to change destiny. We're not here to even to elect a better leader of the country. We're here for the purpose of preparing ourselves for his coming. Amen. We have the desire, but we're often occupied with other things. We want it to be. We want it to be the center of our focus day by day. But as David shared, we have a time with the Lord in the morning and perhaps nothing the rest of the day until evening comes, and sometimes not even then. So we need to be focused on the Lord, enjoying the Lord, partaking of the Lord, letting him be the life within us. But saints, the burden that I have is not there. We've touched that very much. And we need to touch that again and again. We need to have the focus of Christ as our life. But there is something that the Lord puts before us when he called us. He called us with a marvelous calling. We have been called with a focus, a direction. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And verse 1, he says, and I'll read 1 through 3. He says, I beseech you, therefore, I, the prisoner in the Lord, to walk worthily of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, bearing one another in love, being diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. Being diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. And then look at the footnote 3:2. To walk worthily of the Lord's calling, to have the proper body life, we first need to take care or to care for the oneness. This is crucial and vital to the body of Christ. Strictly, oneness differs from unity. Unity is a state in which many people are united together, whereas oneness is the one entity of the Spirit within the believers, which makes them all one. This oneness is a person, Christ Himself, who is the Spirit dwelling within us. It is similar to the electricity flowing within many lamps, making them all one in the shining. In themselves, the lamps are separate, but in the electricity, they are one. Well, that's a wonderful fact and a beautiful picture. But one of the things that struck me very much these days is how much we are infected by the world situation, how much we are occupied with trying to even live out a life that fits the standard that's in our mind, rather than to be one with the Lord in His burden, which is to produce the body of Christ, to bring forth on this earth a group of people, saints, a group of people who have exactly the same feeling He has. He's not for a group of people on this earth who are carrying out many things for His purpose, for his desire. He's for us being one. Let me say again. He's for us being one. And when we talk about oneness, as I was considering this, I very much focused on respect and honor. When we talk about oneness, respect and honor. And the Bible is really, the New Testament is full of this kind of speaking, bringing us into another realm. How many of you are really one in respect and in honor with your spouse? You may say, well, of course we are. Well, not necessarily. I've seen a lot of things go on in the name of the Lord that has nothing to do with that oneness. How much do we respect and honor? When I use this word respect, I'm really focused on the matter of, you could say, obedience or submission. But if I say obedience or submission, right away, concepts rise up within many and a kind of rebellion against that. Don't tell me what I should do. You're not my boss. The Bible tells you to love me. You know, there's just this kind of reaction, because what? That's the harvest of the time we're in. We're in a time when we're talking about equity. We're talking about, you know, everybody is worthy to be, to have their place, to have their kind of background honored. We are in that time. And the more we speak about that, the more we are not one. The more that becomes the focus of the political scene or the educational scene or the employment scene, the more oneness is destroyed. Because everybody is focused on me, my background, what I deserve. You're not honoring me. There's just this kind of thing. The thing that, again, I want to say is that what troubles me is how much that is penetrating into our daily life and our church life. How much we are infected with this kind of thought. And then also how much we're infected with the thing we all say, we have the oneness of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. That oneness of the Spirit is Christ in us. We all have that oneness. Hallelujah. But how about our daily living? Well, turn again to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 12-13. Of course, we know the 11 just says that he himself gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as shepherds and teachers for the perfecting of the saints unto the work of the ministry, under the building up of the body of Christ. That's his goal. That's his direction. Paul began this fourth chapter with saying, walk worthily of the calling wherewith you have been called. Walk worthily of the calling. What is that calling? Calling is in the oneness for the building up of the body of Christ. The calling is not for us to be exceptional warriors in the Christian walk. The calling is for us to build one another up. The goal of God is not to produce these magnificent believers. What he wants to produce is one unique body. And when we pray, when we sing concerning this oneness, something within us says amen, but as soon as we get into our daily life, there's something else takes over much of the time. And we are just not experiencing the oneness in practicality, which is in verse 13. Until we all arrive at the oneness of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God, at a full-grown man, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the perfecting of the saints, building up of the body of Christ, is to arrive at the oneness of the faith. And again, take a look at footnote 13:2. In verse 3, the oneness of the Spirit is the oneness of the divine life in reality. In this verse, the oneness is the oneness of our living in practicality. We already have the oneness of the divine life in reality. Praise the Lord. We need only to keep it, but we need to go on until we arrive at the oneness of our living in practicality. This aspect of oneness is of two things, the faith and the full knowledge of the Son of God. As revealed in Jude 3, 2 Timothy 4, 7, which sounds familiar, right? And 1 Timothy 6, 21. The faith does not refer to the act of our believing, but to the things in which we believe, such as the divine person of Christ and his redemptive work accomplished for our salvation. The full knowledge of the Son of God is the apprehension of the revelation concerning the Son of God for our experience. The more we grow in life, the more we will cleave to the faith and to the apprehension of Christ. And the more we will drop all the minor and meaner doctrinal concepts that cause divisions. Then we will arrive at or attain to the practical oneness. That is, we will arrive at a full-grown man, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, maybe we could take a look at a few of the verses that I mentioned are in the Word of God directed toward us for the calling that we have. We need to walk worthy of this calling. And the worthy of this calling means in oneness. The oneness is a critical factor. It's, we have a lot of things we have gained very positively. We have a lot of things we are practicing very positively. But the Lord isn't back yet. And His coming back depends upon oneness. Depends upon the bride made ready. Depends upon the saints really being occupied with this oneness. Okay, so if we want to consider these things, let's start with, let's start with 1 Peter 5, 1 through 7. Obviously, this focuses on the leading brothers. And this is where it all starts. If the leading brothers are in oneness, then the church has a good chance to be in oneness. But if the leading brothers are not in oneness, then it inevitably comes down to I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Cephas, and then I'm of Christ. But it is not the oneness. It is a choosing of sides. So, first of all, there has to be the oneness among the leading brothers. So I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture because I think, in my feeling, this is what the Lord really wants to speak to us right now. Therefore, the elders among you I exhort, who am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, who am also a partaker of the glory to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, overseeing, not under compulsion, but willingly, according to God, not by seeking gain through base means, but eagerly, nor as lording it over your allotments, but by becoming patterns of the flock. And when the chief shepherd is manifested, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. In like manner, younger men, be subject to elders, and all of you gird yourselves with humility toward one another, because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, be humbled under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because it matters to Him concerning you. This is in the context of oneness. This is not in the context of being a good leading brother. The oneness is the critical factor. And here he says, the younger ones, be submissive to the elder. But then he goes on to say, all of you, be submissive to one another. Well, again, I would pick up this term, respect one another. Just respect one another. Don't think that you have a corner on God's purpose. Don't think that you know better. And don't think that you are, at least in this case, you are right. In every case, if there's contention, you are wrong. And you may say, well, how about the other brother? He's wrong too. We, our oneness is not a matter of agreeing. Our oneness is a matter of this life. So we were exhorted to really be watchful in life. Be watchful in life. What is this life that you're living? Are you watchful in life? Are you listening to the Lord? Are you giving him opportunity to speak to you? You know, we've talked about these things, but how about our practice? Are we really coming to the place where we believe he is the Lord? Well, you may say, well, yeah, I've believed that for a long time. I know. In doctrine, but in practicality, is he the Lord? Is he the one that you turn to? Is he the one that you listen to? Is he the one that you minister to others? Is there a respect based on him? A respect for the brother who is wrong? A respect for the brother who doesn't agree with you? I mean, a real respect, a yieldedness, where you honor this person, where you recognize this person is chosen by God. He's put here by the Lord. He isn't here accidentally, and he isn't exercising that function that he is exercising on his own. He may be ambitious, he may not be ambitious, but anyway, God arranged it for you and for his house. He wants the oneness. He wants to break through all of our opinions, all of our concepts. I was talking with a sister at lunchtime, and she mentioned one of the experiences she had, which is that she had a real, maybe you could say a legitimate complaint against someone. And it was really tearing her apart. But at certain point, the Lord spoke to her, forgive. Forgive. And there needs to be among us, brothers and sisters, a lot of forgiveness. The oneness is not because we're doing it the correct way. It's not, we're not one because we are in the Lord's recovery. We could say, perhaps we're one in the spirit because of the Lord's recovery. That is, Christ is our Lord and he is our life, and we acknowledge that. But that oneness has to proceed to the oneness of the faith, where we, in practicality, we are joined together. We are listening to one another. We are laboring together. The Lord Jesus is going to come back. Hallelujah. Amen. He will come back. But he may not come back in our lifetime. He's laboring to produce that oneness. And there's so much difference of opinion among us. And I come back to this age we're living in. You know, Brother Lee wrote two books that had almost the same title. It's The World Situation, The Moving of the Lord. And he pointed out that the world situation impacts the Lord's move. Now the world situation is impacting the Lord's move, in my opinion, in a negative way. I think it's very easy for us to be caught up in politics and difference of opinion among ourselves because we don't all agree who should be and who shouldn't be. We have our strong opinions. There needs to be a dealing with the Lord, a coming back to Him, bowing our knee to Him, respecting Him, honoring Him. But it's in respecting one another, honoring one another, listening to Him, listening to one another. Hear what the Spirit is speaking in the churches. Open your being up. Give the Lord opportunity to deal with that nature within you that still is full of rebellion. By the Lord's mercy, He forgives. But in terms of our practice, it doesn't work until we enter into it. It is real. Forgiveness is real. But we have to be those who implement it in our daily living. All right, then how about Philippians chapter 2? Right at the beginning, chapter 2. If there is therefore any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any tender heartedness and compassions, make my joy full that you think the same thing, having the same love, joined in soul, thinking the one thing. Doing nothing by way of selfish ambition, nor by way of vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, considering one another more excellent than yourselves. Not regarding each his own virtues, but each the virtues of others also. To really have respect and honor for one another, we have to come to a place where we really do assign more honor to the one with whom we're having difficulty than to ourselves. How can you do that? Well, it is a matter of the things we've been talking about. And this is my feeling is we've been talking about things that is directly related to preparing ourselves for the Lord's coming. But to prepare ourselves for the Lord's coming as individuals is limited. It's real, and we need to have that time with the Lord. We need the fellowship with the Word of God and the Spirit of God. We need the triune God operating in us, but we also need oneness. We need mutuality of respect, of honor. Practice saints, practice honoring one another. I don't mean make a show of it, but I mean in your deepest part, let the Word of God and the Spirit of God produce something in you that really honors every member in the body. I know we are good people. We've been purchased by the blood of Christ. We are people who have pointed out during this time by Terry that we are a whole lot of gray hairs here. And, you know, we've been running the race, and Terry said, now you have to run faster. And sorry, Terry, but I said within myself, I've already ran as fast as I can run. Now I can't run that fast anymore. But anyway, the point is that we are carrying out a purpose here. We're not here just trying to be acceptable to the Lord. We're here to produce the living out of the Lord, the righteousnesses of the saints. That living out has so much to do with respect and honor. Respect one another. Honor one another. Okay, then we'll go to First Peter 3, 1 through 7. Yeah, 1 Peter 3, 1 through 7. In like manner, wives, be subject to your own husbands. Just for the sake of helping the time we're living in, we could read that, respect your own husbands. It's not a, you know, I'm not here trying to cause us to behave in a certain way, but it's that kind of life produced within us that really respects one another. And the wife's obedience or submission, or the younger brother's submission, or the submission to one another, it has so much to do with respect, consideration of one another, honoring one another. So here, wives, be respectful, or wives, respect your own husbands, that even if any disobey the word, they will be gained without the word through the manner of life of their wives, seeing with their own eyes your pure manner of life in fear. Let your adorning not be the outward plaiting of hair and putting on of gold or clothing with garments, but the hidden man of the heart in the incorruptible adornment of a meek and quiet spirit, which is very costly in the sight of God. For in this manner formerly the holy women also, who hoped in God and adorned themselves, being subject, respectful, having respect to their own husbands. And by the way, this is not a better translation. This is just an application for the sake of where we are. Don't try to change your translation, please. For in this manner, yeah, they're subject to their own husbands or respect, as Sarah obeyed or respected Abraham, calling him Lord, whose children you have become, if you do good and do not fear any terror. Husbands, in like manner, dwell together with them according to knowledge, as with a weaker female vessel, assigning honor to them, as also to fellow heirs of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. You know, the day we're living in, I had the honor of joining my granddaughter with her new husband now a while back. And while I was sharing something along this line, there were some friends of hers who just started giggling. They were from work, and it was funny to them that you could say anything about submitting. Oh, sure. Yeah. This kind of thing today is despised by many. And a part of that is because the ones who had a lot of respect in the past, the male, white male, really have been put in their place, right? We are no longer respected in that way. I don't mean there's no respect, but in that way, the male, the white male, just be quiet and move out of the way. And this is not, again, I'm not commenting on a political matter. I'm pointing out how this invades our very being. The women have become uplifted to a greater degree. And I have no objection to that. But what it produces among us so much of the time, well, I couldn't even say so much of the time. Anyway, from time to time, it produces a kind of division. We don't regard one another. You know, we have our opinions about what should be and what isn't and what could be. And all the time that we're letting that ruminate within us, we are missing totally God's purpose. We're missing our calling. We were called for the oneness. We're not called to just produce a kind of church life that is correct. And it was brought up during the fellowship. I'm just deviate for a moment here. It was brought up in the fellowship that our attitude toward those who are not in the recovery is often disrespectful. I mean, we may be very nice. We may be very much trying our best to gain them, but we know they don't know what we know. As soon as you have that, you have lost respect. There's no respect. There's no honor. Wives, respect your husband. Husbands, honor your wives. Here the word to the husbands, dwell together with them according to knowledge, as with a weaker female vessel. That's a terrible thing to say. what are we, you know, we have our opinions about the women. They're weaker. They're female. We assign honor to them as also to fellow heirs of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Very seriously, saints, I'm very concerned that there are among us brothers who absolutely do not honor their wives. I say absolutely. They do not have that kind of respect and that kind of honor. These are fellow heirs of the grace of life. There's nothing about a brother that makes him more qualified to be an heir of the grace of life. And we should never have that feeling, but it's easy for it to slip in. Our natural man, and then the concepts. And of course, in today's society, as I've already indicated, we have the wives just don't have a feeling of respect for the husband. So many of the husbands have been brought into a kind of living that is not according to God's purpose. So we need to have this kind of oneness in our family life. Okay, maybe that's enough. You know, if we go to Ephesians 6, 1 to 4, I'll just give you the reference. You have fathers and children, and fathers are told, don't stir up your children to anger, to wrath. Children are told, honor or respect your parents. It's just everywhere in the Word of God. For the oneness. I hope, you know, I hope it's that I'm not overworking this, but to me, this is where we are. I think we have progressed in a marvelous way in terms of our church life expression, in terms of the meetings we have. The speaking. I mean, this weekend is marvelous. The speaking of the saints. Just, it's way beyond where we were just a few years ago. It's really something of the Lord's doing. But I'm really concerned about where we are in terms of oneness. The oneness of the faith. The oneness that brings in the practicality. Okay, so how do we renew our mind then to change this? Well, we know the word. There's been several of these given to us. But let me just go with you to Colossians chapter 3. Beginning right at the beginning of Colossians. If therefore you were raised together with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things which are above, not on the things which are on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ our life is manifested, then you also will be manifested with him in glory. Okay, we appreciate these verses. We've been in them many, many times. But still, we may fail to set our mind on the things above, to focus our attention on where Christ is. And as a result, we may not live out much of Colossians. So having introduced the chapter this way, Paul goes on to say, put to death, therefore, your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and greediness, which is idolatry, because of which things the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked when you lived in these things. But now you also put away all these things. What things? Okay, the first part is dealing with the flesh. Now, beginning with verse 8, wrath, anger, malice, blasphemy, foul, abusive language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his practices and have put on the new man, which is being renewed unto full knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. And here it cannot be male and female comes in as well. There is the one new man. We are in that one new man. Now we need to practice, enter in to the full experience of that one new man. Forget about who you are, what you are in your natural life. You are, you're not worthy to be considered. There's nothing about you that makes you a unique individual. You just are like the rest of us. We're just all not worth anything in ourselves. We have no claim to being persons of good repute. We have no claim to being those who really are respected. We need the same grace. To be respected and honored is in the body. It's really caring for one another. Really caring for one another in Christ. Really putting aside every other opinion. So here, there cannot be Greek, Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. What does our background matter? What does our history matter? If we have a quote-unquote very high background, does it mean anything? No. If we have a very low background, does it mean anything? No. We may say that it's important how we treat one another, and that's correct. But it's not based on who we are naturally. It's based on the fact that we are members of the body of Christ. There is nothing else that matters. Okay, then in the verses 12 to 17, we have the living as those who put on the new man, where Christ really is all in all. So here he says, put on therefore as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, inward parts of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone should have a complaint against anyone, even as the Lord forgave you, so also should you forgive. I really appreciate very much this word, forgiving. We need to forgive. The sooner the better. There was a sister many years ago, not in the recovery, who had an experience of a daughter, 14 years old, and a worker who was 40 years old, worker for her husband. And one day the worker came and said, I'm going to marry your daughter. And she, of course, had a very strong reaction, and he was fired. But then he would call her every once in a while and just repeat, I'm going to marry your daughter. And it was something that tore her up. She just couldn't respond to that. They went to the police, couldn't do anything. They went to counselors, couldn't gain anything. And then finally one person said, I think I can help you. And said, what you need to do is tonight when you go to bed, imagine that he's right there on a chair, sitting there. And you just say to him, I can't do it in myself, but I take Christ and I forgive you. And she had a very strong reaction to it. But then the person talking with her said, well, do you want to go on like you are? And her response was, no. Said, well, this will help you. So she did finally practice that. And it wasn't too long. I can't recall, but certainly a matter of shorter months that she had a real release within. Just because she was forgiving him, she was just laying aside what she was feeling. And that then he disappeared for a period of time. And then one day she got a call from a friend saying, where's your daughter? And she said, downtown someplace. And she said, well, go get her because I just saw him on the street. And her response was, no, it's okay. And that was the last they heard of him. The point is that forgiveness has an effect, first on you, and then on those around you. It may be wives need to forgive their husbands. It may be husbands need to forgive their wives. It may be leading ones need to forgive leading ones. It may be saints within the church need to forgive saints within the church. You know, I mean, it's easy for us to just say, to tolerate one another. But that's very different than being one. Toleration is not oneness. We may put up with one another, but do we really forgive? Do we allow the Lord's respect and honor to fill us up, to care for others? So here Paul says, forgive one another as Christ forgave you. So you forgive one another. Don't hold on to anything. Put aside, put off all the things that the enemy is raising up. We've talked about, the things that we are personal in our relationship with the Lord, personal, affectionate, private, spiritual. These are wonderful words. But the oneness incorporates this into the body. It's not just that we have something so intimate with the Lord, but that intimacy penetrates the whole body. I don't know, saints, if it impacts you as it has impacted me, but to me, we really are at a particular point in history. I believe the Lord wants to come back. And I believe what the Lord has gained in the churches is really significant. But I'm also very much concerned that this matter of respect and honor one another is not being fully carried out. And in every level of the church life, I think we have to be practicing these things. I hope we could really have a difference a year from now in terms of this aspect of the church life. Respect and honor. May the Lord really grant us the grace. We've seen that what we're dealing with is a satanic kingdom, and we've also seen that it is the divine economy. Satanic kingdom, praise the Lord, we have been delivered and transferred into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Hallelujah. And then the divine economy is carried out by those who are enjoying that freedom that is within the Spirit, the freedom of the kingdom of the Son of His love. Lord Jesus, amen. Our desire is to enter into this oneness. Amen. Lord, to have a new beginning. Amen. Being watchful in life. Amen. Faithful in service. Loving one another. Amen. Honoring one another. Amen. Respecting one another. Amen. Refusing to allow the world situation to penetrate us. Amen. Lord, thank you. Amen. That you came to rescue us. Amen. Out of the authority of darkness. Amen. And to transfer us. Amen. Into the kingdom of the Son of your love. We worship you. Amen. We praise you. Amen. We honor you. Amen. We give ourselves to you. Amen. Amen.
Lord Jesus, amen. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for such a word, Lord. Amen. Oh, Lord, do you touch each one of us. Amen. Lord, that we could really be those who bring you back. Amen. Lord, save us from ourselves, amen. From loving ourselves. Amen. Oh, may we love one another, amen. Honor one another, amen. Respect one another. Amen. Lord, oh, that you could gain your body. Gain the reality of the body of Christ. Amen. 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 Yeah, we're just here to echo what our brother just shared, not to give another message. So, I was just very touched that, this warning in 2 Timothy 3, then in the last days, difficult times shall come, right? We're in those times. And the difficult times are really, the warning is to us, right? That we would not be lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, and non-lovers of God. You know, it's what do we love? Right. And this will if we really love the Lord, we love the body.
Amen.
Right? Because, you know, when the Lord was, I was reading in Acts recently in chapter 9, when we all know this, when Saul was persecuting the church, he said, why are you persecuting me? Right? So we're all one with the head.
Amen.
So if we're having a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord, surely that will issue in a love for the body and love for one another. Love for our wives, love for our husbands, our children in a proper way, right?
Amen.
And this matter of forgiveness, you know, really touched me. I personally had an experience recently where there's been a member of my family that I have, you know, I felt terribly wronged. But because the Lord said, you know, I wanted him to repent, but first the Lord said, you need to forgive him.
Amen.
And once you forgive, then there's, the Lord can do something, right?
Amen.
But if you hold on to something, no matter what it is, no matter how wronged you may have been, that will just prevent the Lord from doing anything.
Amen.
So we have to really deal with the Lord in every relationship we have, right?
Right?
So the Lord can build up his body.
Amen.
Amen.
So the Lord really has given us a real call this morning.
Amen.
We really are being prepared to be the body of Christ.
Amen.
And we've been given a word perhaps that we didn't expect, but which is very necessary,
right,
and very timely. So I was also very touched. Respect and honor. Seems like those aren't such great virtues. I mean, you know, supposed to love everybody, right? And respect and honor seems kind of, you know, okay, you know, you just got to do that too. But according to our brother's sense of where we are, at least here in Northern California and in the recovery, we need to be recovered to something very real.
Amen.
Of Christ's humanity. To respect one another.
Amen.
Husbands, respect your wives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wives, respect your husbands. Honor them. We honor every member. Even the members who seem to be less comely.
Yeah.
They need to be given more abundant comeliness.
Amen.
Sometimes I've been touched recently. I've had to deal with certain members that I felt were uncomely. I think even some others would think were uncomely. The Lord convicted me. You're wrong. Every member is a member of Christ, a member of the body.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, God is not going to let us go.
Amen.
We're hearing a word we need to hear. We have to get through in this.
Amen.
Whether it's basic or advanced, whatever it is, the Lord is speaking something to us.
Amen.
We need to learn how to respect every member.
Amen.
We need to learn how to honor every member. And, forgive me, but it's very true, as my brother said, we need to learn how to forgive every member.
Amen.
The Lord is calling us to be his body in actuality and reality. The Lord will not make progress unless each one of us cooperates. So now let's take this word as we depart from the conference and go on. There will be a few more words here in practicality. But anyway, that's the word the Lord gave us. Let's take that word.
Amen.
Just open to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, where do I need to learn to respect others? Show me. Enlighten me. Let your light touch me and convict me. Bring me out of my own settledness in my way of living, especially those gray-haired ones among us. I speak as one. May I learn to deal with this matter now. I don't want to deal with it when the Lord comes. Let the Lord touch us to honor one another, every member, young, old, rambunctious, troublesome, peculiar, weird, and also, you know, I hate to admit this, but we ourselves are troublesome and rambunctious and weird to others. So don't think you're that much better. We're all the same. And let's put on forgiveness. That's the real expression of the love of one another in the body.
Amen.
I thank the Lord and worship the Lord for this word to us.
Amen. So now we do have a couple of special fellowships, right? Particularly concerning the Fremont Springs Conference Center. Are the brothers ready?